Hello and welcome to Arcanum Obscura. This episode, Nate's staying muted the whole episode.
You set me up for sabotage. How could you do this? No, my microphone.
Stop fiddling with it.
I got it. I fixed it. You said to put it there, but it doesn't sound good right there. It sounds better.
Mine sounds
right.
Let me try.
Hold on. Something sounds wrong. Something sounds off.
I don't know. Actually, yeah.
My microphone, I think
it's just anywhere in the front of the fucking thing. We're just fiddling with our microphones now, because that's what we always do.
Yeah, but we don't record when we do this.
No,
usually turn it on, and I can fuck with it before we start.
Yeah.
Hello? This sounds fine. It'll
yes,
be okay.
It does. Sounds fine.
It's okay.
Mine sounds fine, I think.
How are you doing, Chris?
I want to turn it back. I'm going to mute me.
That's a great talk, Chris. I'm glad we had it. We should do it again sometime, in fact.
I had to twist the mic.
That's not my fault. I asked before.
Don't be a dick.
You don't be a dick. So, Chris, I have a question for you. You brought it up to me in text format, and I had to bring it up
my
whenever we
new
started.
Haunted house?
Yeah. Chris texts.
Okay. I was going to get into this, but first, I wanted to get into something that pisses me off.
I think this would piss you off as well.
No. I'm used to shit like that. I'm used to weird shit.
Okay. Sure.
So,
what pisses you off?
I saw something last night, and you know what smash burgers are?
I know the name.
You make like a patty, you throw it on like your grill thingy, and you get something, and you crush it flat.
Sure.
It.
Yeah.
And it's a smash burger.
Sure.
So, I saw this video, and it's like the new viral craze: smash tacos. So I'm like, okay, so how is he gonna do this?
That's a salad.
So he throws like the beef ball on the grill. Then he smashes it, then he slaps a tortilla on it, then he flips it over, and he puts pickles on it. He basically makes a burger tortilla.
Oh, okay.
And there was a huge debate going on where people are like, that is not a taco. And someone's like, food is food.
Food
and then this whole thing got
food.
Into like the ethnicity of food, and there's reasons why food have different names,
mm-hmm.
you know, cultural backgrounds and stuff. And then someone posted, well, McDonald's has human meat in their food. You still
going
to call that food?
What?
So I'm like, what's he talking about? So I look it up quick. Apparently, a long time ago, I don't know how long it was, years.
Yeah.
There was a satire article written
mm-hmm.
that McDonald's was storing cadavers in their freezers and the meat got mixed with the meat in the burgers. And it was satire.
Yeah. It was like by the Onion or something.
Nah, it was like Hustler.
Oh.
Not Hustler.
No, I know.
But, like, I saw, like, the name of the
it's a joke
the website. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what pissed me off, though, is, like, people.
Yeah.
Are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the person, obviously, because they said right now that whole satire article from years ago is going viral on, like, Facebook and stuff.
Again?
But here's the thing that pisses
me off. You know
that
off. Circulates every, like, few years, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing that annoys the shit out of me. Think back before we had, like, easy modes of transportation and shit.
I wasn't born then.
I know, but just
yes,
you know history.
I do know a little
people
bit about it.
People would spend their life traveling the world to gain knowledge.
Well,
not everybody.
Yes, certain
people would. You know, like they'd travel to different countries to get different libraries, things like that, right? And learn new things.
Yes.
Now we have a computer in our pocket with access to almost all of the world's knowledge at the tips of our finger in a millisecond,
mm-hmm.
and people are too fucking dumb to fact check anything they say, and they just run with stupid shit. They think Facebook is a reliable news source, and it annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in the past, people would spend like a year crossing the fucking ocean to get a book.
Yeah.
And now people can look shit up in 2 seconds and like, no, I can't be bothered. I'm just going to spread this bullshit.
I mean, it's the same. It's the same people who would just stay into their, you know, back in that day, not many people traveled, like, outside of their village or their cities. A few times they would, but generally they would stay in, like, their local area.
Yeah.
Not many people would travel to another state or another country.
Would to
certain
gather
people
knowledge.
Would, but most people wouldn't. It's the same thing.
But the thing is, most people wouldn't do it because of the process involved.
It's the same reason.
But yeah, but now the process is a millisecond of your time.
It doesn't matter. You will always have the people who don't want to put in any effort. They rather just go off what they heard from Joe Schmo down the road.
When I am king of America,
okay,
I am going to implement a new policy.
Right.
every smartphone is going to have a vial of nitroglycerin or a little mini block of C4.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And anybody that sees something on Facebook, we're going to monitor all this. You are all going to be completely fucking monitored nonstop.
Big Brother.
Yes, totally. This is going to be like fucking Big Iron Brother.
Big Iron Brother.
Yes, we're going to monitor everything. And if you see something like that and you post it, your phone fucking blows your face off. That's it. You're done. You are degrading the fucking human race. You're gone. No more. You cannot breed. You're gone. You're out of it. You're out of the gene pool.
Ah, yes. My favorite.
That is how eugenics. I am going to rule when I am a king of America.
I was actually having a discussion today about, not today, yesterday, about eugenics.
Well, this isn't, I mean, it's not.
100% it's eugenics. It's selective breeding. You're saying people, you're doing a dumb, therefore your IQ level is low enough to where you need to be taken out of the gene pool. No,
this is enforced Darwinism.
They have another,
not eugenics.
They have another word for forced Darwinism. It's called eugenics.
No. We're only weeding out the dumb. We're not selectively breeding here.
That is, you're weeding out the dumb so that the selective few who are smart are bred.
We're not selectively breeding. We're making it so you can't breed.
That's just eugenics with more steps.
No, it's not.
You're just adding.
It's just eugenics with exploding phones. This is enforced Darwinism, and that's all there is to it.
Survival of the fittest, but by fittest, I mean you have to meet certain criteria of being smart.
I still strongly believe, you say something dumb, it should hurt.
You have a deformity, you're stupid, die.
Okay, fine. Can we just, let's just plant shit that when you say something dumb, it hurts. You get a little electric shock to the pain centers.
That was kind of fucking stupid. Here, take this. Zap!
Yeah. It'll have, built-in filters that get updated, like your fucking, your word database on your dictionary on your phone. Yeah.
That way, when kids make up new words, you can be like, no, gotta add that to the filter. Don't say that dumb shit.
The kid's gonna be like, fall over in pain, and that's it.
That's lit. Dead.
No, it's not gonna kill, so you can't claim it's eugenics. It's just gonna hurt like a son of a bitch.
Okay.
And and the females will implant it to where the brain sensor part of the brain is. I don't know what part of the brain that is.
Uh-huh.
The part that, and in men, it's going into testicles.
Oh.
Yes. So you are really going to know when you say something stupid. Oh.
Isn't that still just eugenics?
No.
Because if enough damage is done to the testicles, they won't be able to breed.
Well, you know what? After a few stupid things, they're going to stop doing it.
I guess so.
We're Pavloving them.
I... This is
enforced Pavlovian conditioning.
You know there's going to be like a small percentage of the population that are like into it.
Yeah, probably.
They're going to be like,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Say dumb shit. While we're...
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Talk dumb to me.
And then their phones blow up because that's implemented as well.
Oh my God, baby.
That's the fallback. The enforced Darwinism is the fallback of the enforced Pavlovian.
I can't believe the planet's only 2,000 years old. Zap. Anyways,
and the very first word
first
in there is just going to be God.
Capital G God.
Yes,
it can tell when you say that.
My English teacher always got so pissed off at me in college because I refused to capitalize it. He's like, it's a proper name. I'm like, no, it's not.
Depends what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, nope, it's just a term.
Mm-hmm.
Not capitalizing it. He would always correct my papers. He never took points off, but he always underlined every single time. Okay, so the other thing.
Yes. So you texted me with some spooky things.
Do your noise.
What noise?
Okay, so I can never do that. But
the rain
last drop. Week when we were going to record, I was in the computer room for something. And I thought I heard a car, but I have neighbors, so it's probably a neighbor car.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard that noise. I'm like, oh shit, Nate's here. So I got up and I went over and I'm like, I didn't hear you knock. And I look out the curtain and I'm like, car's not there. Huh. And then like a couple days later, I'm like walking by where the hutch is there, where the Clockwork Orange hat is.
Yeah.
And I heard my father whistling in the yard.
That's weird.
Like, what's he doing in the yard? I'm like, yeah. Because, you know, I could tell the voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something, whatever. Then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, it's kind of late for him to be doing anything outside. So I call him, like, were you just over here in my yard? No. What the fuck? And then last night, I think it was last night. When I texted you, did I mention the closet?
Yes.
Okay, so that was last night or the day before?
It was like the day before.
So I went to my room. Last night. I'll look. And so a few days ago, I was in my closet. In my room, I have a full wall closet with four sliding doors. And my cat loves going in the closet, so I keep doors shut at all times. And I went in there to get a box I have of all these old comic book cards. And then I shut my closet.
Yeah, well, it was not yesterday. It was Tuesday.
Okay. Well, so then I shut my closet. And, mm-hmm. like, the next day, I would have noticed my closet open. You know, they're mirrored doors. And my cat was in the room and wasn't in the closet. Therefore, the door definitely wasn't open. So I go in there yesterday, and one of the doors is open.
What?
And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I mentioned it to
your child,
my child, and first thing was like, well, maybe Artemis opened it. I'm like, possibility, but the door was all the way open. A cat's not going to slide the door all the way open before going in. They're going to open it enough to go in.
Don't you have cameras in that room?
No.
Oh, you only have it now here.
I wouldn't put a camera in my bedroom.
I would. I would, 100%.
I mean, it's not like, you know.
I mean, I'm the only one who's going to be looking at it. What do I give a shit?
In case anybody, like, you know, gets access to your camera.
And they can watch. That's fine.
They can watch you painting miniatures.
Painting miniatures, playing video games, sleeping, eating in my room, all that fun stuff.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's like three strange occurrences in the past, like, week now.
It is possible the raindrop noise you heard was a raindrop noise.
No, it wasn't.
It was like the way I
do it. It was the exact sound that you made.
Oh, that's funky.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, Nate pulled up. You, well, because I heard the car, and then I heard that little bloop noise, and I'm like, what the? Oh, okay. Hmm. And then I heard like.
But you thought you could hear it through your wall? Because you said you were in your computer room.
Yeah, but that's right by the carport.
Yeah, that is true.
So.
Hmm. That is weird. So you either got some kind of ghost.
Well, plus, you know, I.
Or a skinwalker.
Put those new graphics on the car.
And that's
so you
summoned.
Could have been, like, looking at them.
No, I know. I know so, what you meant. It summoned it.
And then the next day, like, you know, or the day after, or whenever it was, the whistling in the front yard. I'm like, what the fuck?
What's behind your house? I know those trees. Are there houses that way?
Well, I mean, there's all the mounds of dirt from.
Yeah, but victims. I mean, past that.
Oh,
past that.
Oh, the Indian burial ground. That I intentionally constantly, every day I go out there and I just overturn one of the graves.
Yeah. Do yep. something to consecrate
well,
it.
Not I mean, technically desecrate. It's compost. You gotta turn it.
I meant desecrate, not consecrate. Consecrate's right? A good one. Yeah.
It is technically compost, so you gotta overturn the soil every now and then.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Let the like, saturation get through.
There's like 300 graves, so once a day I flip one of them.
And then by the end of the year, you flip them all.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Now, this house is out, but there's all the greenway there. There's all the trees and shit.
Is the greenway right there?
Yes.
You show me a bunch of trees and I mean.
They call it the greenway. It's just a huge fucking swath of trees.
The greenway is.
That's not the greenway you're thinking of.
Okay.
No, not that.
It's not the greenway.
No.
It is a greenway.
No, but there's a road back there where they wanted to put in houses, and I think there's like one, two houses back there.
Okay.
Funny story.
Oh, yeah?
When I first moved down here, me and my ex were on the back porch.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's all screened in, so it's nice out there sometimes. And we're sitting there. We were here for, like, living here for, like, a week, maybe. And, okay, two kind of funny stories. One's funny, one's just stupid.
Oh, my God, Chris.
They're short.
How could Don't you worry, do this short. To me?
So we're sitting on the back porch. And our neighbor, not the one that's there now, same family.
Uh-huh.
But they had a four-wheeler. similar to the ones that are there now.
Yeah.
But they would go out and race up and down that dirt road out behind the trees.
Uh-huh.
And one night we're out there, and it's like past midnight. It's pitch black out. And I hear him talking, and the guy turns off the headlight on his four-wheeler.
Oh, that's stupid.
And he's like, hold my beer. I'm like, oh my God, someone's dying. He totally said, hold my beer. I'm like, someone's dead. That's it. That's the code word for dead. But we also have a lake back there.
It's going to get bad.
We also have a lake back there.
Mm, yes. Very smart, Nate. Kick the table.
Where the autistic midget disappeared.
I don't. Okay.
That's true.
I don't.
Being insulting here. It's what really happened.
I'm not going to dive into that any further than what has been said.
But there's a lake back there, and a guy, some guy lived back there, used to own an airboat.
Yeah.
And it's a tiny, tiny lake. Like,
go on.
It's big enough for him to, like, zip across it in about 2 seconds on his airboat.
Yeah.
So for all night long, you'd hear, ram, ram. He would just, shing, turn around, shing, back.
Okay. How monotonous.
I know. It was ridiculous. Oh, man. Weird, weird place.
That is a weird place.
I should get out my stage and, like, resmudge the house.
Smudge the whole house all over again.
I did when I first moved in. And myself.
It's been a while since you've been here, so maybe it would be a good idea. Oh, my fucking God.
Stop trying to eat the microphone.
You know what's weird?
What?
If I talk over here, it doesn't quite pick up my voice as good as if I talk over here.
Because that's the way that microphone works.
Yeah, but it's not facing towards me. It's my side of it.
The number two. You gotta face the number two.
Where do you see a number two? Are you talking about the two dots?
Where it says Behringer. Right up here.
And there's no two.
Yeah, yours is buried behind the...
This is the middle. But it sounds better when I'm on this side. Hmm. It's weird. Maybe it's just me.
I don't know.
It don't matter. It's fine. Chris, what have you chosen for us to talk about today?
Yokai.
Yokai what?
Just different yokai.
Oh.
You're going first, so...
I know.
I'm not going to name mine yet. We're going to talk about yokai.
We're talking about yokai. For those of you who don't know what yokai... I don't know why I'm doing a southern accent. For those of you who don't know who yokai are like... I don't want to say demons per se, but they are...
They're basically demons.
They're
what? Like, different type of demon? They're not all evil.
Yeah, they're not all malicious.
It's not like our type of considered
demon.
Yeah,
it's not our... it's Japanese demons. And there's, like, demons for everything.
So it's not like the American idea of demons.
Yes.
Yeah, there's one for, like, everything.
Like, they also are known as spirits and that kind of stuff. They're not all malicious. In fact, I will go over some now.
Yeah, you have a...
I have, like...
few, then I have, like, a big story.
I have, like, three or four, and I'll probably get through most of them, if not all of them. If I don't get through all of them, that's fine. We'll do it another day at some point. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks. I heard it, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I forgot you had the soundboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, there are yokais for everything. Yeah, just stop. Stop.
I missed it. I missed the button.
I saw you missed it. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Anyways, the first one we're going to talk about...
That's for my homies out there.
Yeah, for my homies out there. The first one I'm going to talk about is called Akateko. It translates to the child's red hand or the red child's hand. I just give a guess.
Hey, they're called Native Americans.
Nope, I'm not getting into that. Just give a guess what this yokai is and does. The name is a giveaway.
Is it malicious?
Kind of.
Does it just smear paint all over the walls?
No, but that would be funny.
Because you said red hand, I'm thinking, okay, it's blood or it's paint.
So they hang off
people.
So on this website I found called yokai.com, it literally categorizes all the yokais in different prefectures, so you can go through all the prefectures and see what their local yokais are.
Okay.
It's really cool. It gives you the yokai, it gives you the Japanese name, the Japanese spelling, the translation of the name, and then habitat and diet of it. The habitat is Japanese honey locust trees. The diet's unknown. But with that in mind, with the Japanese honey locust tree as its habitat and the name Red Child's Hand, what do you think it does?
Wait, what?
It lives in a tree. And it's
got a red hand.
And it's called the Red Child's Hand.
I don't know.
The Akateko appears, just as the name implies, as a red disembodied hand belonging to a child. It is found hanging in Japanese honey locust trees.
Just a hand hanging there?
Yup. It's just a hand hanging.
That's weird.
Akateko drops down from trees as people pass underneath them.
Smack them?
Aside from giving its victim a nasty surprise and the general creepiness of a disembodied red child's hand, it is not known for causing any great harm.
It just scares them.
It just drops out of the trees. That's all it does.
That's what I was telling you about. Like, I played that game and there was like one that just farted.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's some more stuff related to this that's basically like sometimes people see like a woman figure that looks like a little girl. I say little, like a 17 or 18 year old girl who just like stands under the tree and that's it. But they don't even know if that's related.
That's not little at Camp Pendleton.
18 is okay.
You said 17.
17 or 18, yeah. Yeah. We're not going to get into that again, Chris. We're not talking about military stuff
it
today.
Made for a good joke right there.
We can do that next week. You want to talk about like just like
no.
Conspiracy theories with the military?
Maybe, if it's conspiracy theories. I thought you meant like just sit on like a military freaking talk. No.
I mean, we can do true crime military.
Yeah.
There's a lot of true crime military related stuff.
So. No, there's not.
You're right. I'm sorry. I don't want to get, you know, Hillary Clinton over here. So,
how dare you imply that the greatest country in the world would ever have any kind
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
corruption or conspiracies in the strongest military organization in the universe.
Anyways, the Akateko sometimes work together with another yokai called the Akashi. He's rubbing his face. Didn't you mute yourself?
That doesn't pick up on it.
I don't know. You hit something on the...
Oh, no. I was just changing the panel.
Oh.
The hotkeys.
You got me worried now. Every time you, like, touch the panel, I expect a soundboard thing. Please stop. Anyways, Akateka sometimes works with another yokai called Akashi. They grab the feet of the pedestrians, causing them to stumble and fall.
And then the red hand falls.
Yes. It has been suggested that the Akateko and the Akashi are two forms of the same yokai.
I wonder if it's a yokai that just gives wet willies.
Probably. I don't have that one.
That'd be funny.
So that's Akateko. That's it. That's all it does. It just drops
that's
from
all
trees.
He do.
Yeah.
That's all he do.
And there's another one that's quite funny. I didn't read the one's name. Kodama Nezumi, which means small ball mouse. It lives in the mountain northeast of Japan, the northeastern section of Japan. The Kodama Nezumi are tiny creatures which resemble spherical dormice. They inhabit the mountain forest of the...
I want one as a pet.
Just wait. You don't want one as a pet probably for long. Tohoku region. Oh,
this explains a lot.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
You know how, like, what's it called? The memory that passes from generation to generation.
What?
Like primal fears.
Yes. Okay.
Like
yeah. I know what you're
it's
talking
like
about
cats
now.
Cats hate balls.
Cats attack balls. They
exactly.
love balls. Oh, it's from these dormice.
Yes.
Specifically these ones.
Yes.
The Kodama Nezumi.
explains everything.
So they're rarely encountered due to their remote habitat. They live on that mountain. However, they do have one particular notable behavior. When the mountain gods grow angry...
They throw spherical mice at people?
Kodama Nezumi begins to swell internal pressure until the internal pressure builds up. They inflate like a balloon. Then suddenly they rupture down the spine and burst.
Totally want one as a pet.
The sound of the explosion is said to be louder than a gunshot. Everything nearby is splattered with their flesh, blood, and innards.
Imagine, okay, so imagine if they were like a real type thing.
They are real. What are you talking about?
I mean, like something common.
Okay,
like
a squirrel.
Yeah. So, like, imagine there's like a whole field of them, and they're kind of like fainting goats. You just run through the field, and you're.
All around you, and you're running through the field. Well, they don't explode when they get mad. They only explode when the mountain
like if they got startled. They that's like their self. That's like their defense mechanism.
It's like eating a whole bunch of puffer fish and scaring the shit out of all of them. So they go poof.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I wish they were real and they were like that.
They are real.
I mean, like, and they How dare you? If they got startled.
Gotcha.
Because I would bring a whole box to a VA hospital.
Oh my god.
And startle the shit out of them.
You'd kill half the people in the fucking VA office hospital. He's giving me a look. I don't know what the look's supposed to entail.
That's the and look.
Okay. So you might be wondering why.
No.
Okay.
I'm thinking about my image. You let me dream over here.
Essentially, these mouths do this whenever the mountain god is upset, to basically for the mountain god to tell the hunters of a local area, I'm like, hey, stop hunting. You're hunting too much.
So they make a bunch of gunshot noises to scare the hunters.
Well, not scare them. As soon as the hunter hears the noise, they know the god is starting to get angry. And so they're like, but we're done for today.
Here's the thing. Say there's two hunters in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
One shoots his gun, and another one hears it from like a little distance away. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm done hunting for today.
It's supposed to be louder than a gunshot. So there's slight differences.
So one hunter's using a tank.
Yep.
And
yep. Then you're like, oh, there. Mountain God's angry. Let's go back down.
God damn it, I popped the mouse. Hunting's done for today.
Yep. That's it. That's all it does. It's just a mouse that looks like a little spherical ball. And then, like, whenever the mountain gods are upset, they inflate like balloons and then explode.
Maybe. I'm looking at a different angle here.
Sure.
Maybe it's not meant to warn the hunters to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But since the gut sound is louder than a gunshot, it scares away all the animals to stop the hunter from hunting. It
could be, too.
Because, you know, when animals hear the gunshot, they run.
It's not what it says in the lore, but you know what? You could be right.
It just seems like it would make sense as well.
Yeah. It could be both.
Because it would add, I mean, it's the same effect.
It is. I don't know which one of these two to do next.
I want an exploding spherical mouse.
I don't know which one of these two to do next. This one's kind of interesting, but this one's really funny to me.
Oh my god, that would make a dark fucking Pokemon episode.
It would be. Voltorb. Voltorb does that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of...
What's the other version of Voltorb? I don't remember. Execute? No, those are the eggs.
Yeah. There's a Final Fantasy that does it too.
Literally just like...
It's a ball of fire called a bomb. And you have to beat it to death before it explodes. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Voltorb literally just like, hey, I'm not winning this fight. I'm just going to kill myself and everyone around me. I'm like, okay, buddy, maybe don't do that. Nope, I'm doing it. Oh.
Yes. I played Pokemon before. They all have like the special move.
Yeah.
And Voltorb was Praise Allah.
Don't. Please, no. Don't. Please.
That's as far as I'm going with that.
Okay.
What was... Oh, I know I learned something about a Pokemon the other day.
Voltorb becomes jihadist. What did you learn about Pokemon the other day?
I think it's... What's the tree with the eggs? Is it Executor?
Executor eggs.
What's the tree with the eggs?
I don't know.
Okay, so this is cryptid. Uh-huh. And I believe it's in Japan.
Sure.
It's like a tree, and all of its fruit are smiling faces.
It got really quiet all of a sudden.
And all the seeds inside the fruit were also smiling faces.
Oh. But
that's where that Pokemon that's like a tree with the eggs came from.
Oh. I did not know that. I don't know many Pokemon. I know a handful of them. I think I know like the most amount of Pokemons from Gen 1 and 3, and that's it.
I remember playing back in the day, and it was like, gotta catch them all, and it was only like two, so it was easy.
It was not two. I don't remember the number.
151, I think, was the original
number. Was it 151?
I believe so.
No, that's Earth from the Marvel comics.
No, I think it was 150 or 151.
How many?
Original Pokemons.
Original Pokemon.
How many
are there?
There was a reason why that was the number
as
well. There was a reason why as well.
I don't know the reason.
Because he needed to add like one more because the number before was bad luck.
150 is bad luck?
Yeah, or something like that. He had to get a certain number so it wouldn't be bad luck.
What's Japanese for 150? Hyaku Goju? Hyaku Goju. That's 50.
I just read an article about it, and they said that's like why it was 151 instead of like an even 150.
I don't know. That's, yeah. And the only bad luck number I know from Japan is 4. But
that's, I believe it's the same in China.
Probably. Do you know why it's bad luck in Japan?
Because the name sounds like death.
Yes. She is 4. And Shine is death.
So I know, like, when I hung up, I hung up that horseshoe and I put 4 nails in it. And I'm like, huh, I should add some more nails.
Yaku Goju?
Just to keep, like, extra.
I'm pretty sure 150 is Yaku Goju. What is 100? And 50? In Japanese.
I don't know.
I want you to... Hyaku Jugo. I said it backwards. I said Goju. Which, I don't think that is correct. Hyaku Jugo. Anyways, you're looking up why? 151 instead of...
Yeah, I was 150? Curious.
Well, while you do that, I will read you the next yokai on my list. Long ago, I'll just tell you the name of the yokai. Tomo is the yokai. T-O-M-O-E, Tomo.
Tomo?
Yep.
Tomo Arigato.
Shut up.
He was like, the look you got when it came out, like you knew it was coming.
I did. I heard you say Tomo, and I was like, oh, fuck. This is going to be the legend for this yokai. Some yokai have like,
what was that little bear's name? The little monster.
What little bear's name?
The little Japanese monster. He was like a brown square with red mouth and teeth.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
You
anyways,
said Tomo, and that's what popped in my head.
Tomoe. Maybe it's Tomoe. Or Tomoe. Because it's Tomoe. Might be Tomoe. Anyways.
I don't know.
It's fine. I'll just read the legend of this yokai.
Do your thing.
Some yokais are like individuals where it's like, oh, this one is specifically like a one-off yokai. And then the other yokais are like, they always happen. Like kitsunes, any fox that lives for...
Every 100 years, they got a tail.
Yeah, any fox that lives over 100 years, they get a tail.
I remember we did that.
There's a lot of kind of like whenever a cat lives for like a few 100 years, it becomes a yokai. There's ones for otters. It's really funny. If an otter lives for 1,000 years, it becomes a yokai.
Domo.
Oh, you're.
That's what popped in my head. Domo.
That's not what I isn't imagined
it,
when you were saying
they call
bear
it Domo
thing.
Coon or something like that.
Coon is just an honorific.
Yeah, I think that's where.
Can I read this fucking legend now?
Are you done? Showing you.
Are you done?
No. Shut up.
Okay. Anyway, this is a specific one instead of like those broad ones where it's like, oh yeah, those hand things just show up everywhere. This one's
They don't like
there's
to be
only
called
one.
broads anymore.
Okay, long ago near the Nian River.
What?
Nian? You never heard that term?
NYAN?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't remember what it is right now.
It's for cats.
That's what I thought.
When Jap Nia, never
Yeah.
mind. It's Nia River, not Nian. There was a large pond called Naisuki ga Fuchi. Naisuki ga Fuchi was famous for never drying up. Why you look at me like that?
Just the name.
Naisuki ga Fuchi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounded funny to me.
Okay. It was famous for never drying up, for its drying up and for its wonderful fish. A single house stood on the pond belonging to a man named Naisuki. He had no wife or children. He made his living by fishing on the pond in his small boat. One day, Naisuki caught a female koi with a splendid appearance and brave demeanor, which made it stand out among the rest of his catch. Day after day, all the fish in his tanks were sold except for the female koi. For some reason, she was always left unsold. She had a tomo shape pattern in her scales.
What's that?
Natsuki, it's like a paisley. That's
Okay.
the best way to explain it. It looks
Like
like a paisley.
the little curly, like kind of like a yin yang. Okay.
Yep, that's what it is. Yes, where was I? Thanks. Tomo shape pattern in her scales. Naisuki named the koi Tomo, and he became quite attached to her. Over time, Naisuki grew more and more fond of Tomo.
She may not have been sold, but she was definitely soiled.
And jumping ahead there a bit, buddy.
Oh, am
You are
I? Ah, foreshadowing.
foreshadowing. The koi seemed to like him back. She seemed to be able to understand her own name, reacting like a human when called. Sometimes he took her out. This is where it's a little bit weird.
I'm pretty sure.
Sometimes he took her out of the holding pond and let her sleep by his side in the house. But it doesn't
Strong fish to
explain.
not die.
I know, I was like, but it doesn't explain how. Maybe in a bowl, maybe in a pond. Who knows what's next to his bed? Tomo even learned to eat meals like a human. I don't know how. It's a fish. We're moving on.
Think
Tomo
he ever
grew.
fed it fish?
That would be fucked up. You think it's okay to eat, like, if a tuna eats
Like that
salmon?
sushi? It's your brother.
Do you think it's like cannibalism if you feed like salmon to tuna?
I don't know.
Because it's a fish, but it's like a different type of
But that'd be
fish.
like saying, like,
Don't say it.
if one
Don't say it.
ethnicity ate another
It's
ethnicity, is it cannibalism? Yes, it still is.
not quite the same because they're not the same type of.
Or, look, Nate, just because we have different
No,
colors
you
doesn't
know.
mean we're different.
No, you know what it's
What
like?
is wrong with
It's.
you?
Shut up. Koi have different colors. They're different koi colors, but a fucking koi is not the same as a. I almost said stingray, but that would have been a bad example. A fucking salmon. It would
Fish.
be. It would be like
There's still
a
fish.
human, a Homo sapien eating a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
That would be the best way to
It
explain it.
doesn't taste good.
As somebody who's eaten many Neanderthals.
Yes.
Where was I at?
Only one.
Tomo grew larger and larger every year.
Judging me.
18 years after she was caught, she had grown into the size of a 14, of
They're very
14
earthy
or
tasting.
15-year-old girl.
The fish grew into.
The size of a 14 or 15-year-old girl.
Okay.
Naisuki had agreed.
How
Had.
old is this fish?
I don't know.
Is this fish of consenting age?
18
Or should
years
we
after.
stop?
This is 18 years after she was caught.
Okay. But
This is also Japan, so that doesn't mean anything.
wait. You know how like cats and dogs age 7 years for every 1 year?
Sure.
What if this thing ages like 1 year for
Backwards.
every 7 years?
Yeah. Well, she grew to the length of a 14 or 15-year-old girl. Naisuki had aged too, now an elderly man. He accepted a marriage offer from an older lady, unwed woman in his village.
And a fish killed her.
Not long after. Stop it. Stop foreshadowing everything. Not long after Naisuke's bride came to live with him, Naisuke went out fishing all night and left his wife alone at home. A beautiful young woman wearing a light blue kimono covered with crashing waves barged into the house.
Wait, no.
Through the back door.
Beautiful young... She's the size of a 14 or 15-year-old.
A beautiful young woman wearing... There's just a short 18-year-old. It's fine.
Okay.
He's fine. Barged in through the back door, she glared at Naisuke's wife and said, "Naisuke and I have been together for years, and I'm even carrying his child. Now you dare act like his bride? I cannot contain my hatred. Leave our home immediately. If you do not in 3 days, I will call a giant wave to wash this entire home into the pond." Then she vanished. When Naisuke returned home, his terrified wife told him what happened. Naisuke said that he had no memory of such a person. A beautiful young lady like you described would surely have no interest in a poor old fisherman like me. He laughed. You must have dreamt her up. The following night, Naisuke went out fishing again. Suddenly, the water became rough and the algae on the surface parted. And an enormous koi leapt up on out of the pond onto the boat. It opened its mouth and spat out something that looked like a human fetus. Then it slipped back below the water and disappeared.
Hey, a lot of fish carry their babies in their mouth.
Naisuke returned home in a panic. He rushed over to the holding pond where Tomo lived, but she was nowhere to be found. That's the end of the story. Do you know what kind of, like, because it's like a fairy tale, so like all fairy tales have like a
moral.
A moral.
Do you know what the sex with fish?
The story. You're not entirely wrong. The moral of the story is spread around the village, and all agreed that, and all villagers agreed that people really shouldn't allow themselves to get so attached to their pets.
Uh-huh.
That's the moral of the story.
Pretty good moral.
Don't get too attached to your pets. It's not good for you.
Or, you know, don't kill your wife with a frozen fish and make up some bullshit story to cover it up.
The wife was still alive. She's fine. She was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he has a child now. A fish child. A fish child. Chris. I have one more. Do you think I should do it or just let you go?
No, you should do it. Then we'll take a break and then we'll come back to my story. Is this long?
It's not. No. It's not too long. It's about as long as the last one. The reason I wanted to do this one, because it is fucking hilarious. The idea of it.
You know what sound effect I need?
What's that?
Dun dun dun. Bah, bah, bah. Like when you get like that part in the story.
Yeah. This is Kani Bozu. Thank you. Hit the button.
No, I was looking. I thought I had it, but I had that wah 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 instead. Totally different effect.
This is Kani Bozu.
Kani Bozu?
Kani Bozu.
How do you spell it?
K A N I B O Z U.
Can you use it in a sentence for me?
The Kani Bozu ate a person.
Good job.
Thank you. It translates to crab priest.
The only contender in the spelling bee, but you win.
Thank you. It'd be kind of awkward if I lost. It means crab priest.
Crab priest?
Yeah. It's a giant crab pretending to be a priest.
Hey. In Skyrim, there's a crab merchant.
It's a mud crab.
It's still a crab.
It's okay.
It's in its name.
Yeah. The Kani Bozu, this is the behavior of the Kani Bozu. I already told you the appearance. It's a giant crab.
Please say it's like a Jehovah's Witness. It just goes to people's doors randomly and preaches.
The Kani Bozu moves into an old empty temple which have no head priest maintaining them. From there, they harass people living in the vicinity.
Oh, it's a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. Here is a legend. This is one of the stories told about a Kani Bozu. Long ago, there was a temple in which priests kept disappearing one after another. Every time a new head priest was dispatched to the temple, they would disappear after one night. Soon the villagers began to think that the temple was haunted. No new priests were willing to go there, and it fell into ruin. Then one evening, a wandering priest came into the village. He went from door to door looking for a place to rest, but everyone told him to go to the old temple. Completely unaware of the danger, the priest did as he was told, and upon arriving at the temple, weary from travel, he fell asleep. Also, kind of a dick move by the villagers. I'll move on. The traveling priest awoke from his dream to a strange sound nearby. Looking up, he saw another priest standing next to his bedside. The priest glared fiercely at him and asked him a riddle. What has 8 small legs, 2 large legs, walks sideways, and has eyes pointing to the straight towards the heavens?
Crab priest, bitch.
The traveling priest thought for a moment, and then he replied, "You're a crab!" He then quickly struck the strange priest with his staff, startled by a sudden attack. The strange priest shed its disguise and became a giant crab. It scuttered sideways out of the temple. The traveling priest threw his staff at the crab, cracking its shell, but it managed to escape. In the morning, the villagers came to the temple to see if the traveling priest was still alive. The priest had told them to drain the pond behind the temple, for the yokai lived inside of it. When the water was drained, they discovered the body of the enormous crab with its shell cracked open. They also discovered the skeletons of all the priests who went missing from the temple. After that, the traveling priest became the new head priest of the temple. And nothing strange ever happened again.
That's the best one. That's my favorite one. Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
When crab grow, don't they shed their shell?
Yeah.
So if he cracks its shell, he just made it bigger and stronger.
Hypothetically. It depends. You can also kill a crab that way.
I just love the riddle. You're a crab!
It was like, what has 8 legs and 2 legs?
But
then,
why would he just like assume he's the crab and not just answer the riddle?
I don't know.
Can you imagine, like, imagine anybody else going up to him and asking him, like, a riddle? And then, like, I can't think of a riddle offhand, but, like, well, like, what walks on 4, then on 2, then on 3?
Yeah.
You know, they're a human.
Yeah.
And you go up and you ask the priest, and he's like, you're a human! Just cracks your head with his staff. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude. Just answer the riddle. You don't have to beat the shit out of whoever's asking.
God, it's just a riddle. Yeah. That's what the... It pretends to be a priest, and then when, like, other people come around, it likes to give riddles out to people. And then sometimes if you don't answer the riddles correctly, it eats you.
So it's like a crustacean sphinx type thing going on here?
Kind of. It likes to pose as a fucking priest. Okay. I love the fucking photo, Mike.
Oh, I gotta see the photo.
I love the photo.
Oh, that is awesome. It's got like a monk robe on and shit.
It's just a giant crab pretending to be a priest. It's wearing a priest robe.
You gotta like download that and send it to me for the Instagram.
Do you want them all or just that one?
Because
this is Tomo. This is Tomo spitting out her baby.
Yeah, I want them all. All of them.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back. And we're back.
Going to war with Russia.
That's what you wanted to start with?
Yep, we're going to war with Russia.
Okay.
Nah, probably not, actually. It's probably nothing really big.
Shall we talk about yokai?
I don't know. Should we talk about yokai? I mean, we can if you want to. Or we could talk about Russia.
No, I'm good. I don't want to have a political podcast.
It's not politics. We talk about Russia's history.
No. I don't care about Russia.
Russia used to have a monarchy, and then they killed everybody in the monarchy and any noble family.
I mean, if we're going to talk about them, we got to talk about Rasputin.
Go on.
That's about it. That's all we got to talk about.
Yeah. Do you just want to go rah-rah Rasputin?
You ever seen a picture of his penis in a jar?
No.
So when they killed him, they cut it off. It's in a jar. And I believe it's like his daughter or granddaughter or somebody that has the jar.
It's probably not his daughter.
And there's a picture of her next to it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the size of her upper arm.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man.
Okay. So, I am doing...
Gorbachev was a great leader. That's all I'm going to say. We'll move on.
Uh-huh. I am doing Shooting Doji.
Shooting Dogs.
And you have no idea who he is.
Shooting Doji.
Okay, so there's, like I was telling you earlier, you know, it's
an old story, so there's variations as it changes over the ages.
Yes.
So the oldest known version of the story takes place during the reign of Emperor Echigo. He was emperor from 986 AD to 1011 AD. And I have a more modern tale of it. But that's when the original one is from.
Okay.
Okay, so the story of Shuten Doji. Shuten Doji. I keep saying it all fucking wrong. I told you I was going to fuck up every fucking word.
Shuten Doji.
Okay. Shuten Doji was an orphan. He was known to cause a lot of trouble. He was also known to be very strong and very smart, which led people to believe that his father must be a demon or a dragon.
Oh.
He was just an orphan kid at the time. He was eventually apprenticed at the Mount Hiei Temple and became a monk. But due to his troublesome nature and not really digging the whole like monk lifestyle, he got into a lot of trouble. He was fighting with the other monks. He was disrespectful. And he spent most of his time drinking sake and getting shit-faced.
Dude, hell yeah.
Which is how he got his nickname, Drunkard Boy. Which is Shuten Doji. The direct translation is Drunkard Boy.
Shuten Doji. Because he shoots all the shots he takes.
So, one festival night, Shuten Doji decided to do, you know, his typical asshole type stuff and play pranks on people at the festival.
Nice.
So, what he did was he grabbed an Oni mask and he put it on and he was jumping out and scaring people.
Neat.
And you got to think now, like, back in the day.
Just like Halloween.
Well, I mean, like, nowadays, if someone jumps out with a mask on, it's gonna, like, it might be, like, a jump scare and startle you.
Didn't I ever tell you about the time one of my buddies was going to a French Revolutionary War reenactment, and he's dressed up as, like, a full cavalry soldier, so French cavalry units had that really big high heel boots with metal plates in them, so every time he walked it clicked like high heels for women. And he was walking out of his hotel and he's going to the reenactment area, and as soon as he's about to turn a corner, a guy jumps out with a knife trying to mug him, and my buddy just looks at him and goes, really? Since it's a reenactment, he brought his saber with him. So he just pulls out a saber. He's like, mine's longer than yours.
He pulled a Crocodile Dundee?
He did. And
call that enough? This is enough.
And the dude just ran off. I'm like, "What? Why did he fucking try to mug you?" He's like, I think he thought I was a woman because of the click of my shoes. And so he tried to immediately try to rob me with a knife. I just happen to have my saber with me. I'm like, oh yes, as you casually do, have a saber with you.
And this totally relates to ancient Japan.
Because it brought, whenever you said he jumped out.
Back in 986 AD when the French revolutionaries attacked Japan.
Napoleon was what? Fucking 1700s? It's something around 17.
That's a pretty cool story. I love the Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Just someone jumping out and scaring people is what I was reminded of. And I was like, oh, wait. I have a perfect story for this. It's fucking hilarious.
So what I was trying to say is, like, you know, nowadays people jump out and you'll get, like, a jump scare.
Yeah.
But back then, superstitions were stronger.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, if someone jumps out and they look like an Oni.
You shoot them.
You're going to freak out.
You shoot them.
So he was jumping out with his Oni mask on, just scaring the shit out of people, right? And after his little prank escapade was done, he found out he couldn't remove the mask.
It was super glued.
So he sought the help of the abbot. And obviously, because of what he was doing, he got yelled at. But even with the help of the abbot, the mask wasn't able to be removed. It was like fused to his face now. Part of his body. He couldn't get the mask off.
That's some good glue.
The other monks started making fun of him for his new ugly face, basically, right? And this started, like, he already had issues.
You fucking orphan child. What are you going to do, cry to your parents?
Well, he was already, like, causing trouble and, you know, all this shit. So now they were all making fun of him, it started to like piss him off more, and as it's said in the story, his heart and soul started to become ugly and hateful as well, like that of an Oni.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the mask fused to his face, and he started to kind of embody the whole idea and, like, the hatred and all that shit. So he fled the,
You got it.
The temple.
Yep.
And
shrine, temple, yep, one of the two.
Up into the mountains to live alone and kind of basically become a hermit.
Hey, speaking of hermits, you hear about that crab Oni? A yokai, rather?
That's all we need is that guy with the staff to throw at this guy and be all done.
How perfect would it have been in this story that this kid ran into a crab yokai? I would love it.
Okay, so...
Sorry.
I still love that story.
It's a great fucking story.
So, while he was in the mountains, his anger and hatred began to grow. And he began to embrace the anger and hatred. He started going to the dark side.
I was about to say, he's turning into a Sith.
Yep.
Nice.
He also started to dabble in black magic, eventually diving deeper into it.
Just like the Sith would.
Yep. So as he was like getting more and more pissed off, he's dabbling more and more in the black arts and all this other shit, he started to attack and kidnap travelers from the nearby village. And I believe from inside the nearby village, not just as they were passing by.
Right.
He would attack young men and women, but primarily the women, who he would kill and drink their blood and eat their organs.
Hey. Wouldn't you?
Just like Yoda.
Well, Yoda wasn't a Sith.
Okay, just like the little baby Yoda that was eating a whole Grogu? Other species.
Yeah. I like how the only two characters you mention from Star Wars are the same race. It's like Yoda and baby Yoda. I don't fucking know. They're
just evil. Look at them. They look like little Oni.
Yoda's done nothing wrong.
I love the song, like the backpack song.
Oh, run, 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 jump. I could be a backpack while you run. Yeah.
No, that my I favorite part is the seagull. That's it. That's my favorite part. The seagull's biting him on the head.
Yeah. Fuck. I think that I knew what song you're talking about.
So this whole thing where he was like kidnapping everybody, it continued for years. And his legend and infamy began growing and attracting more evil people to joining him.
Oh my god, he made a yokai band?
And he started forming a small demon army.
Oh my... Wait. Does it give you his full name or just his nickname?
Just his nickname.
Oh no, I think... If this is what I think it is, I'm pretty sure this is an established, like, really big yokai thing.
He is.
Because he... Go on.
Yeah.
Because I was going to do a story about his daughter, if this is the same person.
So, like I said, he started forming, like, a little demon army. With his growing army, the attacks were obviously increasing, and he decided to build a castle on Mount Oe. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. It's O-E with a dash over.
Oe.
So I said it right.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
From his new evil kingdom, he wanted to destroy the world he hated and become the ruler of Japan. The increased attacks and murders started to draw even more attention until Emperor Echijo decided Shuten Doji needed to be stopped. He sent his strongest warrior, Reiko, to climb the mountain and come back with Shuten Doji's head. Reiko set off with a group of his men and he came upon Shuten Doji's castle in the mountains. They kind of like stayed in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, observed.
Sound very samurai of them.
Charging in. And they saw, like, the whole demon army just getting drunk on sake. So they decided to poison the sake and wait for the demons to pass out.
That's not very Bushido of them. How dare they?
So now all the demons were passed out from the poison in their alcohol. And they went down while the demons were on the ground, unconscious. And killed them one by one.
Nice.
Right? Eventually, after they had slaughtered through his whole army, they came upon Shuten Doji himself. Reiko raised his sword and beheaded Shuten Doji. Though, at this point, he was so powerful now that even after his head had been severed, it began to try and bite Reiko and his men. They were able to retrieve the head, and it was buried outside the city walls in a troublesome... Shuten Doji was no more.
I think this is literally...
I have an excerpt
Go ahead.
Of, like, one of the stories.
Uh-huh.
It, this starts after Ryko was sent to go get him.
What?
This excerpt I have.
Oh, okay.
Takes place.
So this happens after Ryko has been sent to go kill the boy.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Not the boy. But, you know, shooting Doji. He's not a boy anymore.
I know, but...
Okay. So, what it says is, the party encountered... So this is when they set out. A party encountered a group of four men who turned out to be transformations of four deities.
Uh-huh.
At their recommendation, Ryko and his retinue disguised themselves as Yamabushi priests. When they traveled through a cave tunnel, they came to a river and found an old kidnapped woman doing the laundry. The old woman explained that the kidnapped young maidens were being forced to act as maidservants, but the ogres wantonly slaughtered the girls, ate their flesh, and drank their blood.
Hmm.
The warriors, pretending to be priests, convinced the Ogre King to give them lodging. The Ogre King treated his guests with sake and began to tell the tale about himself, how he was called Shuten Doji. Like I said, there's variations.
Yeah.
So in this one, he's like the Ogre King. The sake-drinking lad is what he said he was
called. Yes.
But his underlings, or by his underlings, for his love of drinking sake. And how the ogres had been displaced from their ancestral Hira mountains when Anryaki-ji temple was built nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been at Mount Oe since the year 849. Ryko then offered Shuten Doji the sake given to him by one of the deities, which rendered him incapacitated. The warriors dressed up in armor and weapons, which they concealed in their priestly backpack chests called Oi. They're fucking punk.
Oi. I like how they get their armor on, even though everyone's incapacitated. Like, just in case.
Then they stormed Shuten Doji's sleeping quarters. And while the four deities held down the ogre's limbs, Ryko cut off Shuten Doji's head with a stroke of his sword. The severed head was still alive and snapped its jaws, aiming at Ryko's head. But the warrior defended himself by wearing two of his men's helmets in addition to his own.
Oh.
He had three helmets on his head.
Huh?
The group returned triumphant to Kyoto with the head, which was laid to rest in the Uji no Hozo at Byodo in Temple.
That was a mouthful.
Yes, it was.
I was surprised you managed to get through it in one go.
So like I was saying, stories change a bit over the ages.
Yeah, yeah. Also from like region to region, they'll change as well.
Yep.
So
another version is that Ryko and his men, knowing Oni are very formidable foes, decided to visit three shrines and pay homage to these gods, or the gods of the shrines they visited. The shrines were the Yawata Shrine, the Sumiyoshi Shrine, and the Kumano Shrine. Later, they met these three gods in the form of old men. So in this, you know, the last one had four.
Yeah.
Now it's three.
Yep. Yes?
Hold on a second.
You got it.
Yeah, well, I just said what I'm like looking at sentence trying to figure out what it was, but I already just said that part. Because it was four in the other version. The gods gave them divine elixir. It was actually written as sake divine elixir.
Ooh, yummy.
And
sake bombs.
Which is poisonous to demons. And the story also mentions Ryko wearing multiple helmets. But in this story, it said he had his own helmet, a vermilion helmet.
Hell yeah!
That's what I told you about earlier.
Hell yeah!
In his bag. But he never took that out. The gods had given him a helmet and instructed him to wear that one. So in this story, his original helmet's
vermilion.
Yes.
Nice.
So in this story, his vermilion helmet stayed in his backpack.
And the one he was given by the gods was on his head.
Was the one he wore.
Gotcha.
It was a Hoshi Kabuto-style helmet, which translates to hobnailed helmet.
I think I've seen these.
The ones with like the spike on top, right?
Most of them have that. Hoshi what? Kabuto?
Hoshi Kabuto. I tried looking this up, and I tried looking up hobnailed, and I kept finding just a bike helmets. Like, what the fuck? I'm assuming hobnailed means some kind of, like, spikes on it or something.
Probably.
So you wouldn't be able to bite them.
Yeah, it's very similar to what you said, this one, but they're more spiked. Oh. Don't slap it.
That's how you fix things.
There you go.
Percussive maintenance.
Here's a 13th century Hoshikabuto.
It kind of looks like a sword blade sticking up on it.
Yeah, like the normal. So you have the normal.
So it looks like a samurai helmet with like a sword sticking off the top.
Yes.
So basically it'd be it so he wouldn't be able to bite him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think of the, like, when you said he put
three helmets on his head.
Maybe the spiked part isn't just that part, because this part's also spiked, see? The actual helm part is also spiked.
Oh, it's like, that's more like studded.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think, did he wore three, one on top of each other, or like one on the head, two on the sides of his head?
Well,
I want to know.
So maybe Raika was like little, and then he had like a medium-sized soldier, and then like a guy with a huge fucking melon head. He just stacked the three helmets together.
Maybe.
God, I don't know.
What gallery is that? You know what that helmet was? Where that helmet's at right now?
Where
the Met?
What? One from the legend?
No, the helmet I just showed you is specifically in the art gallery, the Met.
Oh, okay.
The Met.
Figure what that stands for.
I don't know what the Met stands for.
Museum something?
Something.
Of East Terraria.
East Terraria?
Yes.
The video game?
Yep.
Nice.
Okay, so that's pretty much most of this. That's pretty much the story. According to one of the versions of the story, Shuten Doji would take on his true form while he slept.
What was his true form?
And remember, they made him unconscious. And four gods held him down. Remember that part?
Yeah.
And like one of the...
Sorry, I'm reading the Met.
Older stories.
While you're talking, and that's why I'm not responding.
So it would kind of make sense why four gods would have to hold him down.
Yeah.
Because if he's unconscious, he would be in his true form, right?
What is his true form?
I'm going to tell you that. What? This is why it would make sense that four gods had to hold him down.
Okay.
In his true form, he was 50 feet tall.
Oh.
He had a red body, five horns on his head, 15 eyes, one white leg, one black leg,
yeah,
one yellow arm, and one blue arm.
A weird oni. A very weird one.
And an oni is a type of yokai.
Yes. Onis are like more we normally assume like demons are.
Yeah. Like
they're
our more style of demons.
Yeah, they're more
or you know what a true angel looks like.
But well,
they're pretty fucking scary demonic looking things, aren't they?
Yeah. They're more malevolent and
look at that angel. It's just a wheel of wings and eyes.
Yeah. Well, those are only one of the angels.
Yeah.
The one type. There's like six other types of angels.
Fucking freaky.
I don't remember which ones. Those are the messenger angels, aren't they?
I don't want that thing delivering a fucking message.
Yeah, well.
I think they deliver specific messages like, fucking run.
Yeah. I can't remember which ones they are. I don't remember the names for them.
They have one message, run.
Yeah, and then there's the baby angels.
Cherubs.
And then there's like what we normally think of angels as is like human being angels.
Well, you know, the weirdest thing is like people always think of like these angels and you always see pictures of depictions of angels and angels are supposed to be androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they always have like super hot girl looking ones and guy looking ones with like
that's pretty androgynous. I don't know. Michael is supposed to be a man. Gabriel is supposed to be a man.
Yeah,
actually, no. Angels, I don't actually think Gabriel is supposed to be a man.
I believe they're supposed to be androgynous. So
I think you're right. Fuck off. I think, dude, it's been forever since I read the Bible.
I still love that story we've talked about before, with the devil carvings.
Yes,
still one of my favorite.
About. By the way, I was reading about the Met, so it would tell me like what it, like the Met was named for. And I'm at about the Met, about the Metropolitan Museum. It's just shortened.
So Met is just
Metropolitan. M-E-T
from Metropolitan. Okay.
Yeah. The Metropolitan Museum of Art and of Art presents over 5,000 years of art.
Is it New York?
I don't fucking know.
I don't remember what it meant.
It doesn't say.
I know where MoMA is.
New York City.
Yeah, I thought so.
In two iconic states, in New York City, the Met Fifth Avenue, the Met Cloister.
I've been to Fifth Avenue. The only museum I went to up there was MoMA.
There's two sites in New York.
We went to a pretty cool showing at MoMA, yeah. And a really stupid one.
Yeah.
We went to go see Tim Burton's art.
Oh.
They had a whole Tim Burton display, and it was like his childhood drawings all the way up to like his movie sketches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like huge inflatable things that like from his movies or like characters he designed.
Yeah.
But then there was like this really stupid like live art thing going on. And there was like a table with two chairs and a lady sitting with like, I'm guessing like, she had like a red dress and kind of like a red shawl over her.
Is this the one where you can do whatever you want to her?
No, this lady would sit there and look at you, and then you can go and sit down in the chair and just stare into her eyes as long as you wanted. And
I've seen this art.
Get up and leave. I've seen this. Someone, it was fucking dumb.
I did see this.
The other one got fucking scary.
Which
you could do whatever you wanted to the girl.
Yes.
It got to the point where they were cutting her, and then someone put a gun to her head, and they had to take the gun away.
Yeah.
But she laid them out. And I think the whole point of that was to show human nature.
Yeah.
Because it started progressively where like people were just kind of copying feels or cutting her clothes off, and then
art is subjective, so there's no real meaning. It's just the meaning you give it.
But yeah, but I mean, the idea behind it is that she had...
I know.
That's kind of what it showed, how humans like progressively get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Because every time someone did something, someone wanted to outdo them, basically.
Yeah. I like art generally, but there's some art I'm just like, this is like modern day art.
Like a banana taped to a wall?
Fuck it. We don't talk about that. Modern art, most modern art exhibits I fucking hate.
Yeah, that one was just, I'm like looking at it, I'm like, that's, no.
Banana like, tape, you know what? But it wasn't real.
What?
The banana taped on the wall?
No, I'm talking about the one with the lady sitting in the chair.
Oh, yeah, that one's weird.
We were watching it for a few minutes, and I'm like, this is dumb. Now I have an idea. I'm going to make a dumb one like this, and I'm going to be rich and famous.
You kind of have to know people already, unfortunately.
Nah.
You don't think so? You think that lady just came up to the Met and was like, listen.
It was MoMA, not the Met.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
I came up with the idea I was going to take my Doc Martin. One of them.
You've told me about this. We've talked about it on the podcast at length.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to like seal it to the board.
Yes. Just sit. You told me the whole thing about the video.
It'd be
kind of
cool.
No, it's a good idea. I'm just saying you've talked about it at length on the podcast.
And before. Again, like if I knew people, it would be shown.
Exactly.
Who the fuck was it? Yoko Ono.
About Yoko Ono.
She would do art and shit like that.
Yeah.
But one of her art prod displays was literally a TV in the museum live streaming a video camera that was pointing at the sky outside.
Mm-hmm. Art.
Yeah. It's like, you're showing me what I can just go outside and look at. Like,
yeah.
She was basically saying, like, why are you in here when you could be out there?
That's the point, Chris.
Yeah. Art sucks.
Art sucks, says the person who was actually an artist and a photographer.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college and we were working on our huge, you know, final...
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Project for graduating.
I'm sorry.
You know what? The inside might be loose. We should probably pop it open and tighten it up.
We'll do that after this.
But, you know... Not like, in some college you got to write a thesis.
Yes.
We had to do a huge final fucking project.
You only have to do a thesis if you're going for like a master's.
I know,
or a
but I'm just trying to use an example.
Yeah.
Usually, like before you graduate, you got to do some big final project.
Yes.
So in one of our classes, it was all of us for the computer graphics and also all of the networking and IT guys all in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
And our teacher was talking about our project and stuff, and he's telling the IT and networking guys, like, you know, and you know, you guys, you got a whole half of a class here are all, you know, art, like graphic artists.
Yep.
Or digital artists, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, if you talk to them, they can help you do some work, you know, help you make some of the graphics and stuff for your... And I'm like, yeah, just call over one of us art fags. And every person in the room gave me a dirty look. And I looked at it because I knew everybody in the graphics arts class. I'm like, come on, you know that's what we're all called. And they're like, yeah.
Different time.
It was like 2005.
Different time.
So, yeah, different time.
Isn't that weird just like less than 10 years ago?
over 10 years.
I thought it was 2015 for some reason. it's 2020 years. Less than ago. 20 years ago.
Yeah, but that's, I don't consider that. Like, that's not getting into the LGBT word of that. It's just what, I don't know. When I was younger, that was just a kind of a derogatory term for an artist. Yeah, I guess it does get into that, because I kind of always assumed that, you know, if you went to art,
the whole point is it's calling you gay and flamboyant.
Yeah,
so.
yeah, you're right.
Just pointing that out.
But yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, yeah, just call her one of us. And
fair enough.
I remember we had, I think I talked about that. I talked to you about it.
When I was growing up, a lot more people used that than I.
That term?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I just used it, because everybody used it back then.
And, no, yeah, I'm not saying. Yes.
And when you were growing up, it's more modern. And...
No. I was seven.
Like seven when I graduated college. Yep. You were just born when I graduated like high school.
Yep. You're welcome. Now we're here doing a podcast.
And lovers.
Well, you're not supposed to tell them.
Shit.
Gosh.
So we had this kid in our class. I don't remember if I said this on the podcast, but he had one eye.
No, this does not sound like you said this on the podcast.
He was blind in one eye.
No, but he had both of his eyes. Just one didn't work.
Yes, he was blind in one eye, and we had a 3D modeling class.
Oh, no.
And I asked him. You know, he was a cool kid. We got along. I'm like, how are you going to do this? Is this going to be hard for you? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you don't have depth perception. How is it going to be trickier for you than for us? I mean, he can spin the model, so yeah. It's not like it's...
Right.
So, you know, we had to model something, and like our teacher was like, you know, pick a toy you know really well, so you know all the details and model it.
Yep.
He wanted to model his hand. We're like, dude.
That's a weird toy.
It's like, it's hard as shit to even draw a hand. You want a 3D model, a perfect hand? Okay.
Mm.
So then another day we were in class, right? And I needed a pencil for something. And I shouted to my friend Ben on the other side of the room, like, hey, Ben, you got an extra pencil? There was only like 8 of us in a class. So I don't know really why we split up around the room.
It's fun but, that way.
He picks up his pencil and he throws it to me. I forget the kid's name.
Without an eye.
Yeah. Well, for the sake of the story, we'll say his name was Mike. So Ben throws me a pencil. I'm like, Mike. Or I'm like, Ben, you're going to put out Mike's other eye. Don't go throwing pencils around the classroom.
Do you think he could have depth perception if he did what owls do and bob their head like back and forth?
I think he could do it because you could spin the model at least.
I know.
But it just seemed weird to me because I'm not blind in one eye, so I don't know how...
You can be.
Much. Yeah, I know I can.
With the low price of this pen.
I don't know how much depth perception you lose. I assume you need both eyes to get depth perception,
you can,
right?
You can get depth perception without both eyes. It's just a little more difficult. Like, have you ever held your eye, one eye closed for long periods of time?
No.
Oh, really?
Why would I do that?
No reason. You never wanted to pretend to be a pirate?
When Nate was little, he would cover his eye for an hour and just run around the room house full speed.
No.
You ever seen that video of the kid who like pretends he gets a Mario star and he runs and slams into a wall? That was actually Nate's home video.
No, I didn't run into a wall. My depth perception was fine. I did, however, put eye patches on at some point and would like go hours with it on.
Why?
I wanted to be a pirate. I was a kid.
That was a pretty cool Mythbusters episode.
Oh, yeah, for the light sensitivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tested to see if that was true, and they're like, it actually does kind of work.
Yep.
It makes sense.
Yeah. But, yes, when I did that, I still had my depth perception. It was just harder. And, like, it's sometimes harder to, like, when you're reaching for a bottle, sometimes you can't quite get the depth right.
Yeah.
But you can still kind of get your basic depth perception. And, like, you can use other objects around you to kind of gauge it.
I wonder if you have, like, if you're fully blind, if you have depth perception. I was going to say some other joke, and that stupid one popped in my head. And it's like, wow.
I went with that one.
You do have depth perception. Everything is deep and gone.
Yes.
Deep and gone. So I was at work this morning, and I go to one of our other parks this morning to finish up what I was doing, which was weed eating and, like, mowing. And there's a guy that shows up there with his two dogs, and the one dog is, like, really skittish as hell and likes to bark at me for no reason and then run by. The other dog is deaf and blind. It's the cutest thing. I love that dog.
Does one dog, like, lead the other dog?
No.
Really?
The other dog just wanders aimlessly. And, like, if she can't find anybody, she'll start walking in a circle pattern just to find somebody. Like, the circle, expanding circle pattern, which is really neat.
Someone I dated, they had two dogs, and one was going blind.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would help lead it around the yard.
Mm-mm.
And if, like, the blind one would wander off, the other one would bark to bring it back over to it.
This one's a dickhead, so it just lets the other one wander.
I always thought this was interesting. Like, where I worked is a sign that said, like, warning, deaf blind person.
I know what you're talking
about. And I was just thinking about it. I'm like, you have to have so much trust for your caretaker. Because if they just wanted to get rid of you, you would never fucking know it.
Yeah.
You can't hear or see anything, so you got to have full...
My question is, why are you letting your deaf and blind child play outside?
I think the sign is just in case they wandered out.
I know.
But I was thinking about, like, the trust you got to have. Like, if you were born that way, it's, you know, that's all you knew.
Mm-hmm.
But if you happened from, like, say, a medical condition, now you know what you lost, and now you know what other people are capable of.
Yeah.
You gotta have so much fucking... Because, like, you could be sitting there, and they could be going to feed you something and just, like, chuckling and feeding you, like, the nastiest shit, you know?
Yeah. I wonder.
Or, like, just whack you with a
frying
pan.
I don't know if I would want to live anymore. Because there's nothing I can do. Can't read books. Can't listen to books. I guess I could learn Braille.
Get a Braille TV.
That's not how it works.
You gotta get... But
it's not
the problem is, like, most TVs nowadays, they're trying to push that, like, you know, 60 to 100 frames per second, and you just cannot read the screen that fast.
Yeah.
I did see a thing, it was like a...
What do you do?
I saw this thing, and I don't know if they ever finished making it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Braille machine where you could put your hand on it, kind of like an e-book.
And it would just
the letters
constantly
would
spin.
Keep changing.
Oh, okay.
Like it had a bunch of holes.
Yeah.
The dots would keep poking up and changing for each letter.
Oh, that's neat.
Which would be kind of cool for like a...
A digital e-book.
Or like a real-time translations.
Yeah.
Like, as you talk, it pops up. You know what I always thought was funny when you go into, like, McDonald's?
I don't... Yes, I know exactly what
you're talking
about. If you're
blind, ask for our Braille menu. Okay. I can't read that sign to know what the fuck to do, but thank you.
Yeah. I got a call from a deaf person today.
I'm not going to say a word.
Yep. I got a call, and I answered it, and they're like, "Hi, this is Mike, who's a translator for..."
Oh, okay. I've had a call like that before.
And I'm like, I'm going to be translating for so-and-so. And
like, do you, like, accept and all this other stuff?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, sure. How can I help? And then, like,
do you accept? No, tell them to call back and talk to themselves.
No, go away. No. But, yeah, that was my day.
I don't even remember why I had to...
Blind and
answer
deaf.
Answer a call like that.
Blind and deaf dog and a deaf person called me today. Stop it. I can hear it starting.
Yeah, we got to end this episode. I'm going to say something really offensive.
Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Yokai. Next, we'll do conspiracy theories on the military.
we're probably going to do yokai again at some point, too, because there's a lot
of
cool ones.
There's shit tons of yokai.
Yeah.
They're really cool. Anyways, I hope
I should have mentioned when I started this that he was an oni, which is a type of yokai. I just kind of went straight into it. This was about shooting doji. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. Did you check and see if that was his daughter that you were thinking of?
I did not check.
You should have. You brought it up.
It's all right.
Just type in, does shooting doji have a daughter? You brought it up. We got to see now.
I was just going to let it go.
No. Look at the jam and bread I drew. You look at the jam and bread.
Stop. I don't. I put in Shuten Doji daughter, and it brings up fucking...
an OnlyFans page.
No. It's bringing up fandom stuff for what looks to be, like, Fate Gate.
You can look up Shuten Doji, too. There's, like, a famous painting of the battle, of the fight when Raiko killed him.
I see his Vermilion outfit.
Raiko's?
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
It's not quite Vermilion, but it will be.
I wonder if that's his Hob helmet there.
And then, maybe.
Alrighty.
It's fine. I don't find it. If I find it, I'll talk about it the next time.
Yeah, it could be another yokai story.
Yeah. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to contact or email or follow our social media, our email is arcanumobscuracast@gmail.com. Our Twitter's @arcanumobscura. Our Instagram is arcanumobscura. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed. Chris?
What?
You have a good day. It's nighttime, actually.
It's probably almost 10.
Well, go fuck yourself. I don't care anymore.
Is it 10?
It is 10, yes.
I am fucking good. I looked outside of the sun, you tell.
There's no sun!
Exactly, that's why it's 10 o'clock.
Goodbye, everybody.